I want to look this morning at something that affects all of us as believers. We are involved this morning in a spiritual warfare, aren't we? We live in difficult times, and sometimes it feels like everything's coming against you in life. And it's easy to dismiss the difficulties we face in life as just the way life is. And that can be true. This life is so uncertain, isn't it? You never know what each day is going to bring your way. But sometimes it feels like we're running against an elevator going in the wrong direction with the oil all over the floor. But what the reality is for you and I, we are involved in a spiritual warfare. We have a real enemy who actively opposes the church of God, who wants to tear down any work that God is doing amongst his people. He is at war with God's people, and he'll use every tool in his arsenal to try to discourage, to wear out, and to render God's people ineffective. And it clearly tells us in Scripture that we are in a spiritual warfare, doesn't it? Ephesians 6 and 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are engaged in a warfare, whether we like it or not, and we shouldn't be naive or ignorant to the fact that you and I have an enemy who is cunning, who is deceitful, who is intelligent, who is well practiced in the art of warfare against God's people. He's been doing it for thousands of years. He uses tactics ranging from temptation to discouragement. He'll use people to attack us. He'll even use family at times to get to us. And even, dare I say it, so-called believers to attack us. He'll use all means and happily kicks us when we're down. And don't get me wrong this morning, many things that happen to us in life are just a consequence of living in a fallen world. A world full of wickedness and sin, and disaster and calamity can strike anyone. Just because you're a believer doesn't make you exempt from that. But nevertheless, Satan is actively pursuing any that would side with the Lord to try to destroy their faith, to get them to quit, or at least render them ineffective. We need to be, as believers, not ignorant, to be aware, and need constantly reminding of this fact so that we can understand when it happens, where it's coming from, what is the source of it, and then we can actively fight back through prayer, through faith, through God's word, through love and support for each other. We need the right mindset, and if we're going to be victorious in this battle that we're in. And in the scripture that we've just read, we're exhorted, aren't we, to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to resist the devil, to stand, to put on spiritual armour, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to wear the helmet of salvation, because we come under attack daily and we need to be on our guard. And Satan wants to wear us out. It says that, doesn't it, that he'll try to wear out the saints of the Most High God. He uses discouragement as a weapon against us. And if you want to turn this morning your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah and chapter 4, there's some parallels in this book to what the battle that we're in. And you see in the book of Nehemiah, the Jews were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. After the exile, God had put it in Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the walls. And lo and behold, guess what? He faced opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah. And they are mocked and they are discouraged by Sanballat. And that name Sanballat, by the way, it means secret hater or enemy in secret, or bramble bush, which is a thorny bush. Sanballat is like a type of Satan. He displays the same attributes of hating God's people. Here are the Jews rebuilding the wall. And like a picture of any who would want to rebuild the walls of salvation, so to speak, in verse 1 it tells us that when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. So verse 1 says, "But it so happened, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders.'" The way Sanballat reacted with anger and hatred towards God's people is a reflection of the nature of Satan. His hatred is against all mankind, but for the unsaved, it's so well hidden that most don't even believe that he exists. They're blinded to the fact that they're caught captive, bound by the power of the evil one. 1 John 5:19 says this: "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world is under the power of the evil one." But once the wall started to go up, once God's people who began to build those walls of salvation, restoring glory to its rightful owner God, then Satan becomes enraged. Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was enraged at the woman and went to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus." Satan hates God's offspring. He's at war with them. In the book of Nehemiah, Sanballat's aim was to discourage, to mock, and to attack God's people. Satan does this through our minds. It's an attack that is common to all Christians throughout the spiritual life, and especially for the one newly saved. He attacks the mind. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, fully aware of the devil's ways, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Ephesians 6:17 said, and take the helmet of salvation. Both of those passages are concerned with spiritual warfare, and they show us the need to protect and renew the mind. We see in Nehemiah 4:1-6 that the enemy used fear, depression, mockery, doubts to demoralise the builders. And Satan uses these same tactics to demoralise us. Through confusion, doubt and fear, he tries to snatch the word of life before it can be firmly rooted. In Matthew 4:19 it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. See, if Satan can capture our thoughts, he's won the battle, hasn't he? Nehemiah, again, verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined up together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So despite the intimidation, it says that the people had a mind to work. We need to keep our focus on building God's kingdom, on labouring in the kingdom, having a mind to work. Satan doesn't want us building walls. He wants us to give up. In verse 7, it says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Despite the intimidation, the gaps were beginning to be closed. The walls were beginning to be restored. And even all the attacks of the enemy can't prevent God from building his church either. The gates of hell, it says, will not prevail. Verse 9, it's like that, where it says, despite all the attacks and the mockery and the intimidation, he says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. The best thing you can resort to in times of attack is prayer. It is our communication line to God. It's where we find renewed strength for the battle. It's part of the armoury that we have against the evil one. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We always need to pray. And notice it says in the Spirit, not out of our flesh. We pray according to God's will. We lift up our requests to him, not just for ourselves, but for all the saints. Time and time again in the Psalms, you see, when David was discouraged and he was under attack or in trouble, what does he do? He calls upon God. He relies upon God. He waits upon God. That's how we stand. That's how we recover our strength. They that wait upon the Lord, it says, doesn't it, in Scripture, shall renew their strength. Verse 10 in this chapter of Nehemiah, it says, then Judah said, the strength of the labourers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses. The enemy was beginning to wear them out. Their perspective was, our strength is failing. There's too much rubbish to clear. We're not able to build the wall. But Nehemiah told them, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. You know, when we feel that we're without strength, when our strength is failing, when we're ready to throw in the towel, we need to remember the Lord. Remember, we serve a mighty God who can do more than we can ask or think. A God of the impossible is the God that we serve. We don't need to be afraid of the enemy's threats. We can fight for our brethren. We have to fight. As it tells us in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not fighting in our strength, but in the power of his might. It's about having the right perspective, isn't it? It's easy to look at our circumstances in life and let our hearts crumble with despair. But we're not fighting our own battle, are we? The battle belongs to God. In verse 15, they got their perspective back. It says, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armour. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. See, God brought the plot of Sanballat to nothing. It says in Scripture, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God has given us the victory. He's already won the battle, hasn't he, at Calvary? Our victory is assured this morning, but we need to live in the good of it. As Nehemiah said to the people, our God will fight for us. It's his battle. And in verse 17, and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with the one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. See, while they were building and getting on with their everyday duties, they never let go of their weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword ready at his side. We can't relax in this battle. Our weapons need to be ready at all times. Never go out without the sword of the Spirit or the shield of faith. Never go out without the weapons of our warfare. Remember, we have an active enemy, always looking to exploit our weakness, always trying to find a gap in the wall. We can't let down our guard, as it tells us in Ephesians, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 21 of our Nehemiah chapter says, so we laboured in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. They were always ready. They were always clothed. They were armed. They were vigilant every hour of the day and night. At the Passover, Exodus 12:11, it says, and thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Israel had to eat the Passover in haste, to being ready to leave, with loins girded, shoes on their feet, staff in hand. They were ready at all times. The New Testament is full of warnings to you and I about being ready, having our lamp trimmed and burning, watching for our Lord like looking for a thief in the night, not getting caught up slumbering and drunkenness, but being ready and vigilant, watching and waiting for the Master's return. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He said. We're called to be ever vigilant. For those of us old enough, you remember Ever Ready batteries? We need to be ever ready. Always watching, always waiting. Always on the lookout for Satan's wiles and snares and traps. Always looking for our Saviour's return. Keeping our lamps trimmed and burning as wise virgins. Keeping our garments clean and washed. Looking to God at all times. We shouldn't be surprised this morning by Satan's attacks. We should be able to discern them. We shouldn't be ignorant of his methods. If we continue in vigilant prayer, in steadfast faith, in steadfast service, in watching and waiting, then we'll be ready when the evil day arrives, which they do, don't they? Have you ever had an evil day arrive? A day from hell? When everything that can goes wrong, does go wrong. When it feels like the world is against you. When you can't do right for doing wrong. When you're assaulted from all directions. When disaster strikes. Or when accusations or slander is made. When hatred is experienced. When you're falsely accused. When you're misunderstood. When everything goes against you. Well, we need to be ready for those days. Because they do come and they will come. When temptation comes, are you ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Will you be found asleep when you should be watching and praying? Like Jesus found the disciples in the night of his capture. Or will you be found girded, clothed, with sword ready in hand? We need to be ever watchful, ever ready. Praying always, he says. Fully clothed in the garments of righteousness. Keeping our garments clean from sin, unpolluted from the world. We're called to watch, aren't we, church? To remain sober, to remain vigilant. Because the enemy is real. We are in a battle. And if we're too lazy to fight, or if we listen to the enemy's discouragement, if we give in to his lies and temptations, then when our Lord returns, we're not going to be ready. We can't serve God with one eye and with the other eye on the world. It's all or nothing. We are pilgrims passing through the wilderness of this world. We need staff in hand, sword by our side, fully girded, fully armoured, helmet on, shield held high, so we can deflect those fiery darts of Satan. In a nutshell, we need to be ready. Matthew 26:40 says, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 21:36, watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1 says, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We need to be serious and watchful. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So much for once saved, always saved. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We can't say we've not been warned, can we? We need to fight. We're in a spiritual warfare. We need to fight for ourselves, for our families, our brethren, and the church. As Nehemiah told the Jews, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So that we can say in the end, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We need to be alert. We need to be aware of the battle that we're in. We need to make sure we are always ready, always alert and praying. And if we do get injured, you know, in battle sometimes you get injured. But then we need to make sure we get back, go back to God. God will always be there to pick us up if we fall. He doesn't forsake the righteous. And if we repent, we can find renewed strength and restoration for the battle ahead. Amen. 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 Let's pray this morning.